If you would please turn in the Word of God to 1 John chapter 2. I remember Brother Henry saying that he'd been a so-called preacher for many years, and then the Lord saved him and he said, "God rewrote my Bible." If you're a believer, you know what he means. Things that we thought we knew became old, and things we couldn't see till God removed the scales. And then we wondered how in the world we ever miss it. But till God reveals it to you, you won't see it. John is an apostle to the Jews. These are Jewish people he's talking to, and they could not conceive how God could save anyone outside of Judaism, especially a Gentile. And I have great respect. John's such a loving man. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin..." That's a question we said, who? "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation," that's a legal term, "for sins." He paid the price for our sins. "Not ours only, but also for the whole world." There was a time when you and I thought that meant every child of Adam and Eve. We know now that's not the truth. "And hereby we do know." We know this. We know that we know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. "If we keep His commandments," that's to rest on Him. "He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him," in Christ. "He that saith he abideth in Christ ought himself also to walk, even as Christ walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. For he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." I understand that. Never stumbles. Those of us who are in Christ. "But he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he go, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." This is verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." How hard it is for us as believers. Do you believe that? God has told us, His children, that our sins are forgiven in Christ. All the sins that I have committed, all the ones that I'm committing right this very moment, and every sin that I'll commit until this flesh dies, in Christ, God has forgiven. I pray He'd give me the faith to believe that. This week was a time, hopefully, for you and your family. And I was thinking, God has blessed us here in Christ. But one of the blessings is to have new children, new babies, little children. And those little children are completely dependent on their mother and dad for some things, most for everything. they are life to their, to that baby. That's what John's telling us. You and I are little children. We are totally dependent on Christ for everything. And I pray this day that He'd give us the faith to believe it, that our sins are forgiven. Let us go to Him in prayer. Lord, we pray today that You would visit with us and send Your Spirit, that Your hand would be on the heart of Your servant, our brother, Brother Craig, that You would put Your words into his heart and into his mouth, that You would give him Your Spirit to declare to us the truth of Christ and His salvation. And Lord, as Your people, we are little children. We are depending on You to speak to us this day. And give us the faith to believe in Christ and on Christ. And faith to know that our sins are forgiven. The faith to love You, to worship You, to praise You, and to walk in You. Give us this grace, we pray. Amen.
Our Lord's timing, you know, I know this is such an understatement, but it's always so perfect, so perfect. Michael was supposed to have scripture reading last Sunday, and he got sick and wasn't able to be here, and I asked him if he would do it today. And that passage of scripture that you read is so perfect this morning for the message that I would like to try to bring from Psalm 119. If you'll turn with me there in your Bibles. I fear that there may be some misunderstandings when it comes to 1 John chapter 2. And but I'm so glad that Michael read that passage. And I hope that in light of Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, the very last verse of that psalm, that the Lord will be pleased to shed some light on what we just heard, read from 1 John chapter 2. I have 3 points to this message this morning. The first point is that God's sheep do go astray. The second point is that the good shepherd always seeks and finds them. And the third point is that they can never fall from grace. They can never forget the commandments of God. Here it is in one verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, the title of this message is Hope for Lost Sheep. Hope for Lost Sheep. And David says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Here's my hope. Oh, people talk about finding God. That's not how the Bible talks. Lord, You find me. I'm lost. I can't find my way out. Seek thy servant. For I do not forget thy commandments. The first point is God's sheep do go astray. Isaiah put it like this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, each unto our own way. There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, that way leads to death. How oftentimes we go astray. How oftentimes we choose our way over God's way. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Oh, how we can relate to that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. How easily distracted we are by the glitter and the glamour of this world. Like a lost sheep, I've gone astray. Now, I'm not talking about just falling into some gross sin, although there's nothing a believer can't do. The Lord gives him a long enough leash. He'll do anything. But I'm talking about the feelings that we have as believers all the time. Lord, I just can't seem to stay focused. I can't seem to stay in love with you. I just can't seem to be there. I get taste of your grace and how sweet it is. But Lord, as soon as I'm tempted, I take my eyes off of you and I go astray. I go astray. Like a young child, ignorant of the dangers that lurk in the shadows of dark places, we wander. We wander away. W-O-N-D-E-R. We wander away. That's especially true. It's especially true. You know, there's only two kinds of people in the world. There's sheep and there's goats. Now, among the sheep, there's lost sheep and there's saved sheep. And so, among the lost sheep, that's particularly true prior to our conversion. Prior to our conversion, that's all we know is to go astray. All we know is our own way. All we know is the way of the world. And like other men, we just follow after the same things. We are in every way, in outward appearances and in motivations, we're just like the men of this world until the Lord is pleased to reveal himself to us. Like Mary Magdalene, who came and anointed the Lord's feet with that precious ointment, who the scripture says the Lord cast out seven demons. That's where we were. That's where we were, under the grip of Satan. And he had to lead captivity captive. He had to come into the very pits of hell and draw us out. Like that demoniac in the Gadarenes, cutting himself among the tombs and chained. That's where we were. That's where, just lost sheep. If you can't identify with these examples, then perhaps you're still lost and don't know it. But that's where God finds his people. He finds them in bondage to sin. Like Onesimus, running from Philemon and falling into the pit of prison in Rome. The Lord has to send us a gospel preacher. He has to send us in the way of truth in order to deliver us from our wayward ways. What did David say? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Lord, that's my nature. And if you don't come seek me and keep me, there's no end to what I might fall into. Some, on the other hand, are delivered out of the darkness of man-made religion. We've been bruised like Saul of Tarsus. We have zeal without knowledge, persecuting the church, having no interest in the truth of God, lost in the wilderness with no water. Like the woman with the issue of blood, we've spent everything we had on physicians and only found ourselves to be worse off in the end than we were in the beginning. I have gone astray. I went astray in the world. I went astray in religion. Like Matthew, the tax collector, merchandising men's souls for our own profit. steeped in free will, man-made religion. There's no darker place to be lost in. You can be a whole lot more lost, if that's possible, in a brightly lit church building than you can be lost in a smoke-filled, dim-lit barroom. You can be a whole lot more lost in moralisms than you can in degradation. You just it's Scripture speaks of those false prophets as being wolves in sheep's clothing. Some of us were sheep in wolves' clothing. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Where did the Lord find you? Bruised and broken by the sins of your flesh, the pleasures of sin left you empty, crippled, and crawled up into a cave like a lost sheep, gasping in your dying breath without any strength of saving yourself, or in the darker deceit of man-made religion, works religion, blinded to the truth, trying to establish your own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness of God? Where did he find you? Lost. In your self-righteousness, you blasphemed the God of grace in thinking that you could save yourself. In religion, you played the hypocrite, pretending to be keeping the law, washing the outside of the cup, not knowing that the inside of it was full of corruptions. Whitewashing the tomb, not knowing that the inside was filled with dead men's bones. Where did the Lord find you as a lost sheep? Or are you still lost? Are you still lost? God's sheep, they get lost. After conversion, they get lost. Oh, when Peter said, "I go a-fishing," he thought it was all over. He thought, I've blown it. There's no hope for me to be recovered now. I've forsaken the Lord with cursings. I've denied Him openly. At His darkest hour, at the time when He needed me the most, I denied even knowing Him. Surely there's no hope for me. Oh, tell Peter that I've risen. And when the Lord came to the seashore, Peter was out there with John and James fishing. Peter said, "It's the Lord." It's the Lord. "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, thou knowest that I love you." "Yes, Lord. I can't stop loving you. In the midst of all of my wanderings, in the midst of all my sin, and in the midst of all my denials, in the midst of all my worldliness, I can say, yes, Lord, I love Thee." Martha, how oftentimes we become like Martha, encumbered with many things, many cares of this world, rather than being as we ought, like Mary, who had chosen that one thing that was needful, sitting at the feet of Christ. We get so busy with the things of this world, prone to wander away from Christ. Oh, we get deceived by the pleasures of sin for a season, don't we? David certainly did, and he was a believer. John Mark forsook the gospel, forsook Paul. Paul said, "I'm done with him." Oh, but the Lord recovered him, didn't he? He recovered him. Just as God sent Nathan to speak to David, He recovered him. And so the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, send John Mark, for he is profitable to me. Oh, like a lost sheep, he went astray. But I've sought him out, and I've brought him back. The brethren in Corinth were guilty of sins that are some unmentionable. Had they not been mentioned in the Word of God, we couldn't speak of the incest. We couldn't speak of believers taking other believers to court. We couldn't speak of them turning the Lord's table into a feeding frenzy, fighting one another for food. We couldn't speak of those things if we weren't written in the Word of God. They're so shameful. And yet, how less shameful are the things that we do to one another? Is there anything that the Lord won't allow His children to do? Yes. Yes, there is. He will not allow them to stop believing. He just won't. He just won't. And the hounds of your sin will drive you into His arms every time. That's my hope. My hope is that He won't allow me to stop believing. I can't not believe. You see, the proof of our salvation is not how well we're doing or how our outward appearance might seem. The proof of our salvation is faith. Faith. That's the evidence of things not seen. The Good Shepherd always seeks and finds His sheep. They may have fallen off a cliff. They may be caught in a thicket. They may be crawled up in a cave. He knows where they are. And He always leaves the 99 and He always seeks after the one. He's not going to lose not one. Not one. Lord, like a lost sheep, I have gone astray. Lord, seek me. Seek me. He may allow you to become on the very brink of disaster, to where you are peering over the very portals of hell, nigh unto destruction, looking down into the fire and brimstone of the destruction of your soul. But He won't let you fall over. He won't. He will renew the fear of God in your heart. He will cause you to cry for mercy when you don't know your way home. And when He does, you won't be saying, well, I found the Lord. No, you'll be saying, He found me. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know how to get out of here. I didn't know what to do about it. And He came and He sought me out. He sent His servant, like David, after Mephibosheth, and fetched him by His grace and brought him back to His table. Mephibosheth was in Lodabar. He was in a place where there was no bread and no water. There was no hope of salvation where Mephibosheth was, hiding out. David sought him. Like Abraham sending his servant after the wife of Isaac and bringing Rebekah back willingly. So the Lord sends His Spirit out into the highways and byways, out into the wilderness. And He finds His children. And He compels them. And they come. They come. Oh, sometimes the Lord lets His children get in places where... I love the water. I love ocean. I love being out in the water. And I love thinking about what it was like navigating by the stars. You know, just being able to take that sextant and put it on a star and figure out which way you're going. Sometimes you get out in the sea of trouble, and it's so dark you can't even navigate by the stars. The Lord knows where you are. He knows where you are. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Lord, seek me. Seek thy servant. Sometimes the woods are so thick that you don't have a map, you don't have GPS, you don't know your way out, you're just going in circles. And you're coming back to the same place. And you're cold and hungry. Lord, come get me. Come get me. That's David's prayer. Like a lost sheep, I went astray. Seek me, Lord. Come find me. And when he does, he doesn't beat his sheep. He doesn't do like we might do to a wandering child and whip them all the way home. Oh, no. When the Lord Jesus Christ made eye contact with Peter that night, those weren't looks of condescension. They weren't looks of anger. They weren't looks of disgust. They were looks of compassion and pity. That's what broke Peter's heart when he cried uncontrollably. He saw the compassion in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Nathan confronted David with that parable about the man who stole the sheep and said to David, "Thou art the man." You know, at one time I thought that Nathan just stuck his finger right in the chest of Nathan and said, "You're the man." I don't believe that. I believe that Nathan's eyes were swelled with tears. And he looked at David and he said, "David, you're the man. You're the man, David. Can't you see it?" And David's heart was broken. And Psalm 51 was written in response to that. No, he doesn't beat the sheep. He doesn't use the rod of correction. He doesn't remind them of his law. He gently picks them up, pulls them to his breast, sets them on his shoulder, brings them back into the flock, and feeds them. Feeds them. It's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. It's His mercy toward His children that cause them to love Him. We love Him because why? He first loved us. Lord, like a lost sheep, I have gone astray. Seek me, Lord. Seek Thy servant. With the voice of compassion, Lord, speak to me. Oh, we to think, well, the Lord will show mercy upon me if I'll rededicate myself to do better. Speak to me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Remember that I'm made of dust. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Take my yoke upon you. It's light. It's easy. Why? Because I've already pulled the load. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. That's who I am. I'll speak to you in a still small voice. I'll treat you with tenderness and kindness and mercy. That's what I want. Isn't that what you need? He's a tender shepherd. When the father was waiting for the prodigal, he didn't stick his finger in his face. He didn't say to that wayward son, "I told you it was going to turn out like this." No.
No, he was at the end of the driveway. And he saw him coming from a long way. He knew he was coming. He knew he was coming. And he lavished him with the kisses upon his neck, is what he says. And he called for a servant. He said, bring the robe and the shoes and the ring and kill the fatted calf. My son that was lost has been found. Rejoice with me. It was the elder brother that couldn't rejoice. Why? Because he was bound by the law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Grace is so much better than the law. The law is a harsh taskmaster. Grace is a loving shepherd. Cares for his sheep. Brokenness begets brokenness. Condemnation begets rebellion. You want your children to grow up little rebels? You just keep them under the heavy hand of the law. You keep them under the thumb. And they're going to break out of that one day. They get old enough, they'll break from it. Condemnation and judgment and harshness produces rebellion. Brokenness and grace begets brokenness and grace. Kind and tender-hearted. That's the way the Lord treats us. The last part of this passage, I think, brings into focus the passage you read, Michael, earlier in 1 John chapter 2, where David says, look at the last verse, the last part of it, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, the word commandment is used here to describe much more than just the Ten Commandments. It's a word that's used to describe the whole of Scripture. And the whole of Scripture, we know, is the gospel. It's the gospel. The word judgment is used in judgments. The word precepts. The word statutes. The words law. The word the way. All of these are words that are used in Psalm 119 to describe the same thing. The whole of Scripture, which is the revelation of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a child of God, you can't get away from that. You just can't forget it. When the Lord starts a work, He finishes it. You know, in religion, we used to call it once saved, always saved. But in fact, all we were doing was whistling through the graveyard, because we thought that our salvation was the result of something we did. And the truth is that if your salvation is the result of something that you did, or something that you prayed, or some decision you made, then the power of losing your salvation is in your hands as well. In other words, you're going to lose it the same way you got it. And we just salved our conscience by saying, once saved, always saved. The truth is that if God's done it, if the Lord sought you and the Lord found you in your sin and the Lord brought you to Himself, He's not going to lose you. For Lord, I have not forgot thy commandments. I can't forget them. I do not forget thy commandments. Truth is, you can never fall from grace. What God teaches cannot be forgotten. What God brought you to, cannot be forsaken. What God has given you cannot be forfeited. What God has done in you cannot be forbidden. What God has done for you cannot be undone. It just can't be. No man can separate you from God. God's fish can never escape the net of grace. They just can't. The trees of righteousness, which are the plantings of the Lord, will never be uprooted. He plants them by the rivers of life, and He nourishes them, and in due season they will produce fruit. They may not be producing fruit right now, but in due season they will. Heard of an adopted child one time who, after they grew up, changed their name. And never happened. God's children. Never happened. When He adopts a child and gives them His name, that's their name forever. He's never divorced His wife. Never. It's called the perseverance of the saint, which is caused by the preservation of the Spirit. And it's a work of grace. Job, in the darkest hour of his despair, said, "The root of the matter is in me." I know that. And if you read some of the things Job said, Job's words were blasphemous, but he said, "The root of the matter is in me. And when worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh I will see the Lord." I can't get away from Him. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. All Israel shall be saved. Not one member of the body of Christ, not one member of the body of Christ will be amputated from His body." He said, "I know the hairs on your head." You know what? He knows the hairs on the body of Christ. He's not going to lose a hair. Not a hair. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." And God's sheep, they were a long way astray before the Lord found them. And after He finds them, they're still prone to wander. "Seek me, Lord." And He does. He never allows one of His sheep, never, to meet their end in destruction. "For I have kept Thy commandments." I can't get away from it. I believe. Whatever else, I just believe. I believe the gospel. I believe that all my righteousness before God is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He satisfied the demands of God's justice when He offered Himself up for my sins. I believe that. I believe that I'm not able to save myself, that I'm without strength, completely, Michael, as you said, as a small child, dependent on Him to provide all things for me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You are a God who shows mercy towards lost sheep, and that there is hope for us. We ask with David that You would seek us, O Lord. Draw us to Thyself. Be kind
tender-hearted and merciful toward us. For we are in need of your grace. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In the soft octennial, let's stand together.